Tons of Tomatoes by Georgina Barnes. To grow tomato plants, you need a good, rich soil, right? Well, not always. Johnny's Uncle Rupina grows his tomatoes without soil. How do you do that? Johnny asks. Come and see, smiles Uncle Rupina. Wow, this is amazing, says Johnny. They are walking towards a house that's as big as 20 classrooms. It's also totally clear because it's made of glass. No soil allowed. Inside the glasshouse, there are rows and rows of tomato plants. Uncle Rupina tells Johnny that there are 3,800 of them. The plants are in bags. Two plants share each bag. In the bags, Johnny can see something brown like soil, but it looks hairy like bark. I thought you grew without soil. What's that? Asks Johnny. That's coconut fiber, Uncle Rupina replies. It helps to hold the plants in place. It's good to use because it's totally free of disease, unlike soil. But coconut fiber doesn't have any minerals. Johnny knows that plants need minerals to grow. His plants at home get their minerals from the soil. I have to buy minerals by the bagful, Uncle Rupina says. The minerals he buys are powders and crystals. Working water. Carefully following a recipe, Uncle Rupina adds the minerals to big vats of water. The water dissolves the minerals, and then they are carried to the plants in the water. Growing plants this way is called hydroponics, which means working water. But the vats of mineral solution are in the control room, and the plants are in the main part of the glasshouse. Johnny is puzzled. How do the minerals get to the plants? Back in the glasshouse, it looks totally dry. Johnny can't see any water. Then he spies black pipes snaking along the floor. Lots of small tubes branch off each pipe. Each tube goes to a plant. Uncle Rupina explains that the mineral solution is pumped from the control room, along the pipes, through the tubes, and into each plant bag. With strings attached. Johnny notices strings that drop from the ceiling. There is one for each plant. The plants look small now, but they will eventually grow up the strings. Tomatoes are actually vines, Uncle Rupina says. They can grow as long as 30 meters. That's as long as 3 buses. Uncle Rupina shows Johnny how to tie the plants to the strings. Then he points at a row of plants. You tie down this side of the row, and I'll do the other side, he says. The knot is tricky, and the stems are very delicate. Uncle Rupina finishes his side, while Johnny is still on his first plant. You win, says Johnny. It's really hard. Flying workers. Can you see my workers? Uncle Rupina asks. Johnny can't see anyone. Then Uncle Rupina shows him a box. On the outside of the box, there is a picture showing its contents. Johnny smiles. Bumblebees! In his garden at home, Johnny has seen how pollen sticks to the legs and bodies of bees as a yellow dust. As they fly from flower to flower, The bees shift the pollen around. When the flowers have been pollinated, they transform into fruit. I used to do the pollination myself, Uncle Rupina says. Johnny tries to imagine Uncle Rupina flying around the glasshouse like a bee. It was a big job, Uncle Rupina continues. There are over 70 flowers to pollinate on each plant. I had to walk around and touch every flower with a feather. Imagine having to do that to 3,800 plants. These days, the bumblebees do the pollination. The bees live for only a month, so Uncle Rupina replaces them every 3 weeks. Checking up. As Johnny is leaving the glasshouse, Uncle Rupina shows him a box with two plants in it. Every day, Uncle Rupina places a meter in the water that runs out from these two plants. The meter is a measuring instrument that tells him whether or not the plants are getting the right amount of minerals. If they're not, Uncle Rupina has to quickly adjust the recipe in the vats. Otherwise, the two plants and all the other plants in the glasshouse could die. Johnny has enjoyed finding out about hydroponics. He says goodbye to his uncle, but promises he will return to sample some of the crop. Six months later. Walking towards the glasshouse, Johnny sees that it now looks completely full of plants. Inside, leaves and bunches of tomatoes cram every space. It's time to pick the fruit. Johnny wonders what the picking machine will look like. It will have to fit between the rows and not squash the fruit. When Uncle Rupina gives Johnny a green crate, Johnny realizes his hands will be part of the picking machine. Uncle Rupina's wife, Iseta, their children, and their grandchildren all help to pick the tomatoes for market. We've been picking tomatoes for 4 months now, Uncle Rupina says. By the end of the season, we'll have picked about 300,000. When we've picked them all, we'll pull out the plants and get ready for next year's crop. He points to a big crate of tomatoes. Now, you still have one more job to do. It's time for the taste test. Are the tomatoes too watery? Not sweet enough? Or simply delicious? An interview with Rupina. When and where were you born?
I was born in 1957 in Mangyangi, Western Samoa. But I came to New Zealand to do a horticultural apprenticeship.
What was the first thing you grew?
Actually, the first thing I grew was tomatoes. That was when I was 14 years old and I was at Loimoinga Folk College.
What was it like to do an apprenticeship and what did you learn?
I had to work hard in the nursery every day for 9 hours. At night, I would study. I did that for over 3 years. I learned how to grow everything, trees, plants, flowers, and vegetables.
Why did you decide to grow tomatoes?
Flowers are beautiful, but people always have to eat. So I chose to grow vegetables. And tomatoes are still the most popular vegetable. A tomato is actually the fruit of the plant, but it is used as a vegetable in cooking.
What would you say to anyone who wants to be a horticulturalist?
It's good fun, and it's also amazing to watch the plants grow. Out of a little seed comes a big plant, and the big plant feeds a lot of people.